Hello, hello. This is Stories and Stuff from Minneapolis, and I'm Joy Bubbles, the old storyteller here. And, you know what? Oh, that's right. I should tell you, you can press zero for all kinds of instructions on how to go back and forth and pause and raise the volume and stuff if you want to hear all about that. Did you ever know a bully in school? Were you ever bullied? Well, I want to tell you about a bully. He was bullying in our fourth grade class. This bully was bullying a blind guy around. And I'll never forget his name, one of the bullies. Well, yeah, one of them. It was me. Me and Richard, and sometimes Carrie joined in, too, to bully Tommy Muncy. We were all in a class for the blind in fourth grade with Miss Stanley, our teacher. And I don't know why we picked on Tommy. We never, like, decided it out loud or anything. We would just do it. I think because he was quiet and a little bit differently intelligent, like in a kind of a quiet, not so much a school way. But he knew a lot about animals and stuff, but main thing is he just seemed, I don't know why being different is so scary. Oh, we had lots of ways of bullying him, though. We would always be thinking of creative ways. One of us would take a bite out of his sandwich and put it back. And he didn't like to eat a sandwich that somebody had already bitten out of for some reason. So that's why we like to do it. And then Richard got me and Carrie some kind of nuts, castor beans, I think it was, and we'd rub them on the sidewalk, and they'd get real hot, and as Tommy ran by, we would touch one against his leg, and we would, like, he would play with a tree branch or something, and we'd grab it away and throw it on the ground, or maybe sometimes we would just get in a circle and surround him. And whichever way he ran, there was one of us around to block him, and he was caught in our circle. And he had to say, "We are the sacred leader," or something, before we'd let him go. And we locked him in the bathroom, and then I got another creative idea. We found an old wire laying on the ground, an old piece of wire. So we put it around the doorknob inside and said, you know, if you turn the knob, there's 22,000 volts hooked to that wire. And you'll be a goner. So he was in there crying for a long time until the teacher found him. That was what I did in fourth grade. The teacher would talk to us and stuff about, you know, how there's different kind of hurts for people. You know, you could hurt them by hitting them or cutting them or something, and that was your body, but you were hurting Tommy's heart, he told us. That's not his heart with the blood running in it, but the heart inside, you know, your feelings. And feelings, those kind of hurts last a long, long time, and they go deep. And you're doing something that's very not good for Tommy, and it's not really good for you either, because those things, she said, the universe has a way of making them, getting them to come back to you or something. And it all seemed real incomprehensible to us then. We just sort of laughed at her. So then she'd keep us in for recess and talk to our parents. She tried all different kinds of things. One day, the horror of horrors happened. We came into school, and it started out innocently enough. The teacher said, "We're going to practice filling out forms today." A form is where part of it's written on the Braille paper here, and you're going to write in just what I say, and it's already made to fit in where you'll write it in. And we roll the paper back and forth in the Braille writer and fill out this form. And you were invited to, and of all things, it was Tommy, the Muncy's horse farm with father and Tommy and family, something like that. And there was little spaces for what we would be doing. All the hamburgers and hot dogs you could eat, and ice cream, too. Screaming and loud yelling are encouraged, along with tree climbing, horse riding, swimming, petting animals, and other interesting activities. And, you know, it was like that. We had to fill it in. But it would all have been good, except for who it was. We had heard about the father, that he was real strong. He worked with farm animals and stuff, and so that meant he was probably planning to break. He could probably break both of our arms with one hand or something. And maybe he was going to then beat us up, and I don't know what we would do. Maybe feed us to the animals as food. Boy, I was so scared, I was practically shaking, and me and Richard and everything were all pretty afraid, and we kind of decided maybe we'd play sick or something and not go. It was going to be that coming Sunday, and we were all invited, the whole class, including my sister. Well, I brought home the form, but I didn't tell Mother about it, but she already knew. She said, "You're going to go this Sunday," and my sister was all excited about it. "No, I don't want to," and she said, "You're going to go. You know, you got to go to that." You know, so I tried playing sick a little bit Sunday, and Daddy said, "Well, if you're sick, I'm going to carry you there, and you'll just have to lay there on the picnic table and smell the hamburgers and hot dogs while everybody else eats them." Well, somehow I got well on the way, but I was still pretty glum. I figured, well, maybe it'd be like my last meal, you know, like when you're, like, executed or something, the night before you're hung or something, you know, you get to have a nice last meal. But at least I'd enjoy that. So we got there, and sure enough, the first thing we did was ate. I never knew my sister could eat four hot dogs in a row. I don't think she did either, but she still remembers that Sunday to this day, by the way. And then we, after we ate, we started having a time of jumping, running, and yelling. See how loud we could yell and stuff, and climbing trees. And I set up in a kind of a Y branch that Tommy showed me of a big tree and did all kinds of jungle hooting noises and pretended I was talking foreign languages. Or something from the high tree, you know. And then we'd scream and yell some more, and we were just jumping up and down. And, of course, then there was swimming. We went in the water, and, boy, we splashed a lot. There was still water left in there, though, when it was time to... Time. Uh-oh. This was going to be the bad part. It was time to go in the barn with Tommy Muncie's father. I had heard of taking kids to the woodshed, but this was our barn. I guess this is where he was going to beat us up or something. Well, we went in there, and we started petting the little tiny animals. He showed us how delicate they were and stuff. Little tiny baby piglet, and he let us feel little lambs and little calf, and they all made tiny little noises compared to when they get big and grow up. And he was delighted. Tommy was delighted how good I could moo. You know, we did animal noises. Another kid could do the sheep really, really good, and somebody else could do the horse, like the blowing noise that they make at the end, or something. I can't really do it, but you know, different kids of us could do different animal noises. Said, "See, just like you can make different ones of you. You're good at the different noises. Well, these animals are different too, all different and everything, but all special in their own way." But then it came down. He said, "You know, I've heard about some of the things that you've been doing at your school." And I thought, well, this is where he's going to tell us about Tommy and then beat us up or something. He said, "Richard, you know, you got 100 on your arithmetic test the other day, I heard. Very, very good." And he told me, "You know what? You got a perfect, that was a hard test. I heard those spelling tests, they were hard words, and you got a perfect score on that thing." "Yeah, I did," in a quaking voice. I was still so scared. He said, "Carrie, I've heard you read this week better than you've ever read in your whole life." "I guess so," he said, you know, "and that's really, really good. Glad to hear it." And then it was time for horse riding. And I thought, oh, he's pretty smart. He's not going to beat us up. He's going to let the horse, you know, make it gallop, and it'll throw us off, and the horse will trample us and go back and trample us again until we're dead, and that way he won't be responsible. Wow, what a smart man. He won't take the blame for us getting beat up. But wasn't like that at all. He said, I was kind of afraid. He said, "Now, this is a quarter horse. This is a special, gentle horse, very loving horse." And he sat me up on it, and the horse kind of walked slow and steady. And pretty soon I was kind of felt like I was in another world, like I was a special cowboy carrying lots of gold to the treasury across the lonely lands of snowy Wyoming. And I had to make it. And then an Indian stopped, and we ate together, and he taught me a song that only the Indians knew, except now I did, you know, and now I did too. And we had all those kind of pretends. I felt really in a special world riding that horse. There was some kind of warm, good feeling from touching that quarter horse. I don't even know what a quarter horse actually is, but it was really a whole horse. It had the head and the tail and all four legs and everything, but, you know. Anyway, it was just such a gentle, wonderfully feeling animal. I had never felt that kind of special kinship before with an animal like that, with a horse. And after that, of course, there was some more time for yelling and screaming because, you know, I was so quiet on the horse, we thought we would all run and scream some more. And then Tommy was explaining about different kind of leaves and gave me an acorn to keep. Still have that acorn somewhere in my top drawer. And it was, of course, after that, it was time to eat some more, you know. Man, did we ever eat? There was always this endless supply of hamburgers. It was the whole Sunday, actually, we stayed, including some more swimming and all that. We came home pretty tired. We went to school the next day. And we ate lunch with Tommy. We ate our sandwiches instead of his. We didn't take a bite out of his sandwich. I didn't lock him in the bathroom. I didn't put any, we didn't touch any hot rubbed castor beans against him or anything. We all talked. We ate, and Tommy was saying, "Hey, that's a crow up there," he said. "I can tell a lot of what crows say. They have a whole language, you know, different things, and I know some of it." And he said, "You know what? Birds are a lot smarter than snakes. Did you know that?" And I said, "No, why?" And he said, "Well, snakes, see, they just lay their eggs and walk away, and they never know whether their babies come out all right or not. But birds, they stay with their babies and take care of them and even fight for them. And they stay with the eggs and keep the eggs warm while they're hatching, like these crows, you know. They'd fight for their babies. And they teach the babies how to fly. They help them and everything. Birds are much smarter. But snakes are special, too. Everything has its own way of living and everything. They're all kind of different, you know, and stuff like that." And he was talking like that. And then I started talking about how much I love telephones and said, "You know, when you take your mouthpiece out of the phone in these old traditional phones, people can still hear you a little bit because the earphone, if you talk into it, it's like the kind of mouthpiece that Alexander Graham Bell had. Doesn't work as good as the mouthpieces now do, but, you know, it works a little bit. You can yell into the phone." And I said, "When you want to dial, you don't have to dial with the dial. You can dial with the receiver buttons and push, like, the button up and down 5 times for 5 and 6 times for 6. And Tommy actually called me when we got home and did all that, too. So we were talking and talking with Tommy and listening, and he was telling us about different feels of bark on trees and stuff, and blowing grass blades. And the teacher did something she never had ever done before. She completely forgot that it was time for arithmetic and let us just talk and talk like that, because it was the first time that whole year we'd ever talked to Tommy like that. And she forgot the whole arithmetic period, and she said, "Oh, something more important was going on today. We'll do the arithmetic tomorrow." And something more important than arithmetic? Golly. Well, that was Miss Stanley. And Tommy's father was as strong as we thought. You can imagine, even stronger, because he was able to stop 3 tough, determined bullies without even beating either one of us up. Now, that's pretty strong, you know, because none of us ever decided not to bully Tommy. We just never thought of it again, like it never even crossed our minds. We didn't really, like, sit down and have a meeting of the bully committee and disseminating and articulating and promulgating informational material about our bullying sessions, saying that we would hereby cease and desist all assaultive activities, or, you know, of course we didn't talk like that to each other, but it was never discussed like that. Nothing ever happened except we just never bullied Tommy again. He was a friend, and who would want to bully a friend, you know? And it just stopped. And I can say, luckily, I never was a school bully again. It just sort of never seemed to happen. I don't know why. I didn't really think of it. But I wonder, you know, why I bullied like that, why I was there with the 20, actually it was only 18,000 volts on that wire, not 22,000. But, you know, how did it start? I guess differences, people are different, or just, you know, you kind of get afraid of them or something. It's hard to imagine that how much gusto and fun it seemed to bully somebody back then. Well, anyway, like I said, my sister still remembers the day she ate those 4 hot dogs in a row. Never knew she had it in her. Oh, well, next week there'll be another story. Stay strong and take care of each other and find some time to play. Bye for now.
At the tone, please record a voice message.